Hi, this is Mish Hancock, and you are listening to Mishmash, a place where I get to talk to the weird, wacky, wonderful people of this world, people I adore and want to know more about. Today, my guest is Brad Artiga. Brad is the owner of Artiga Photos, offering commercial and aerial photography in St. Louis, Missouri, and the Illinois area. And you guys have a history of taking some pretty cool photos.
Just a little bit of a history.
I'm telling you. So how long have you guys had the studio?
Well, my grandfather was a Spanish immigrant. And when he came to St. Louis, he loved the downtown area. And he went to work for a stove company that was downtown. And he wanted to learn how to take pictures. So he went for an interview to this gentleman by the name of Musler. And his first job, and it took 3 years to do, was to take a picture out of every window of every building that was taken down for the arch. And so that's how he learned photography.
Really?
So this is in 1927. His first job was to take a picture of Lindbergh in front of his plane before he left.
Oh my gosh.
Our files go back quite a few years.
No kidding. And so I know because I got to come to your studio, and it's like being at a museum. That is so much fun to walk through there. But the arch is a big thing with you guys.
Yes. Yeah, so the arch was one of the things that was a project that my grandfather took on. He wanted to be involved from the start to the finish. And my uncle and my father were also involved in the business. So they were on the project every day that anything was happening. So they were instrumental with the people who were the engineers. And so they would say, hey, today we're going to do this or this. And so my father or my uncle or my grandfather would go down there and either be on the project or get the helicopter and do an aerial shot.
That is so amazing. Who was the helicopter person? Like, was there a friend? Yeah. What was this helicopter person?
So that was Foster Air, which Foster Air was over in Parks Airport.
Okay.
So helicopters were very, new at the time. I mean, there wasn't too many of them around, but there was a few companies, but Foster Air was one of my grandfather's really good friends. So
gotcha.
They worked with him.
And you have all these amazing pictures of the arch being built, including the picture of that last piece going in.
The John Wayne shot.
That is an interesting story, which I would love you to share, because I remember you showing me a picture where it was the second to the last piece had gone in, and then you're like, okay, and now the last piece, and you're looking at it going, how is the last piece going to fit in there? It doesn't look like it's going to fit. So what was the engineering marvel that happened that they could get that last piece in?
So when they set the second to the last section, it was done on October 19th of 1965, and there was only a 2-foot gap. Well, the pieces are 8 feet wide. So they had to put a spreader jack on it that with 560 tons of pressure. And so they set all these pieces. They took all the readings at nighttime, and they were going to set the last section at night. And Mayor Cervantes said, there's no way you're going to set this at nighttime. We want the people. We're on the stage for the world. We're going to do this during the day. So being in October, you have really, cool temperatures. And then the sun comes, and it starts to heat it up. So that's why they had to have the fire department come down and put the water on the legs to shrink it up enough for that last section to go in.
Oh, my gosh.
So it took they've slid the piece in, but it, act like it was all over. But they had to let that relax before they can let the pressure back.
Gotcha.
So it was a lot going on there.
And then another story you shared with me that I loved was the thought behind the gentleman who created the little elevator thing that goes up the arch, which if anybody's been to the arch, it's really wonky. It's like wonk, 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 wonk. But, that's the shape of the arch. So Right. That's how you get up there.
Yeah, there's no way to have a plumb bob inside the arch since it's such at an angle. And his job was to come up with an idea on how we can get people up there. because there's 1,076 steps that go through the one leg. And so he came up with this idea, and each of the carts were made from a cement mixer. So it would keep you level as you tick-tock all the way up from the bottom to the top.
So crazy. I just love it. Oh, my gosh. The things I learned. So the outside of the arch, I mean, you have a ton of photos of celebrities that came through St. Louis. I had no idea that St. Louis had this Hollywood connection.
Well, they had three sitting presidents visit the arch. And then, I mean, yeah, they had, you know, Lawrence Welk. I mean, you would have, you know, all kinds of movie people come into St. Louis to see. And at the time, there was a lot of shows that were happening in St. Louis. So I mean, in the early 60s, you had the Rat Pack would come in once a year for a charity event. So, yeah, there was a lot going on in St. Louis.
And there was movie previews, too, right? There were some of the stars would come in to preview their movie. Wasn't there a connection there?
Yeah, so they would film the movies in California, edit them in New York, and then they would bring them to St. Louis. So RKO, Fox, everybody had their 20, anybody who had movie studios had down on Olive Street was Movie Row. So there was a movie theater that was down there that had 51 seats, and everybody would come through there to see their movie. So when I knew they were going to tear down the building, I took all the seats out, and so I have all the seats.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool! And they would come in at Union Station, and yeah. You guys would be there taking pictures.
John Wayne, Lucille Ball, Maureen O'Hara, all of them, everybody. Through the 40s, they would come into St. Louis to watch their movie for the first time.
That's so awesome. So then tell us more. Like, what are some other cool things over the years that have happened with Artigas?
I think it's, you know, you get your base from the arch construction, but you get known for that. But, I mean, it's on how you treat people. And that's one of the things that my grandfather always taught us is the friendships when you're part of the family then. And so our studio is mi casa es su casa.
You know,
you come to our studio,
it's
in our house. So you can use it however you want to use it. So we have great friendships through everybody that we work with. And, you know, we don't work under contracts or anything. If you like it, pay us. If you don't, move on our way. We're fine. We're good.
Good. I get it. Yeah. No, it's funny. I'm not a contract person either. I'm like, it's a service agreement. You pay me, we'll do what we told you we were going to do, you know? So what part of Spain is your grandfather from?
He's up near Barcelona. So,
okay.
I mean, it's kind of funny is that we just got a call from somebody. My wife did the 23andMe, and our two kids did the 23andMe, and my sister did it. So there's all of a sudden somebody calls up and they're second gen. We're like, uh-oh, where's this going? And we found out that he traced it back into Spain, which we knew that they came from Spain. But he has stuff going a little bit farther. So he has my grandfather's great-grandfather. So, I mean, it goes back into
early 1800s. That they could share that with you. I love that. I love Spain. So I thought I just had to ask and find out.
I'll be there someday. There's an Artiga castle there. So
really?
I'm going to have to go there someday.
Where at?
It's near Barcelona.
Castle?
Yeah, it's a bed and breakfast. It has like a 3-year waiting list.
Oh my gosh. You got to get on the waiting list.
I got to get on there.
I'm telling you.
Maybe the name might be able to persuade them.
hey, you know, we might have to talk about ownership of this thing. I might have some.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh my gosh, how fun. That's really cool. That is really cool. Yeah, you have to go. Have you ever been?
No.
Oh, it's amazing.
I just made my first journey over to Hawaii this year. And that plane ride?
You're not a plane. You don't like the plane.
I like to fly. That's not the problem, just sitting that long.
It is a long time. I have a friend that's going to Japan soon. And I was like, how long is that flight? And it's like 16 hours. I was like, whoo, yeah.
What do you do for 16
hours? That's a tough one. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm thinking I would take melatonin and just sleep the whole time. I'm guessing that would be not a bad idea.
Yeah, maybe not.
Well, so what do you guys do now? What are some projects you're working on at this point?
You know, it's we never thought that we would work off our file, but, you know, after 100 years of having imagery. So It's pretty fun to go back through the file and actually pick out some really cool stuff of St. Louis. I do a lot of interior design for different buildings. A lot of bars, restaurants have our stuff on them and on the walls. Seiberg's is one of them. We did Culpepper's restaurants. You know, it's just the, I guess, going back into the file and working on it. I like going back and trying to connect dots with what my grandfather and my father have done. I think it's pretty neat.
Well, yeah, and you know so much about the history of St. Louis because of that, because you have that visual backing and just the family history behind it. Is there anything else about St. Louis you find really fascinating that most people don't know?
I think it's the people here. Right. I know you grew up in on the north side. I grew up on the north side. North side people are different than south side people. There's a big difference. Most of our north side friends, they went out to St. Charles, O'Fallon, you know, went out that way.
Yep. Same
I
here.
Kind of bucked the system and went south. And
I went downtown. So go figure, you know. Yeah. I'm the odd person out. I have so many friends are out Wentzville. Like they all went out that way. And I was like, I'm downtown. Like, what? What are you doing down there? Like, I love it.
Yeah, I went downtown. I live in St. Louis Hills and really love the neighborhood. It brings back a lot because I'm from Baden. So it's kind of like what Baden used to be and all the shops and friends and how close-knit everybody is. Everybody's, you know, looking out for one another, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know? I was just talking about my loft building. That's how my loft building is. Everybody looks out for each other, and we're our own little neighborhood. It's awesome.
That's what you have to do. Keep everybody safe.
So tell everybody how they can find out more about Artiga Studio.
Well, we can, you know, the website is artigaphotos.com. Mm-hmm. But we have our phone number is 314-352-8345. I mean, I'm usually there every day, but it's kind of in and out. So
can people call up and come look at the photos?
Sure.
I loved it. I thought it was amazing. I was like, this is like being in a museum. How fun is this? And Dad was there.
Oh,
it was a party. I got coffee. It was good. Okay, I have some fun questions for you.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm kind of scared.
No. Nothing to be afraid of here. So right now, is there a celebrity or well-known person that you would love to photograph?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, everybody has a little bit different idea who's a celebrity.
No, but in your mind,
I'm trying to think of somebody that sticks out in my mind. I don't know. I would have to, let me come back to that.
All right, we can come back to it. Okay, this one is just goofy. Are you ready? Because I like goofy things. Do you have a secret handshake or code with friends or family?
Probably not. I mean, I have a very firm handshake and a lot of, and it's not on purpose. It's just, that's the way I was brought up to give a firm handshake.
Firm hand. I like it. Yeah, and no, that's a thing.
Always stand up when you meet people and it's just, I think it's just a firm handshake. You know, that's the code.
All right. Like I got it going on. All right. Well, kindness is a big deal with me. And so will you just share a top of mind kindness, either kindness you've given, you've received, or witnessed?
So I think I hang my hat on something that I used to do. I can't do it anymore because of medical stuff, but I used to donate Pheresis. And I started donating when I was 16. You donate blood at school for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a request, would you like to donate 13 times a year? I said, yeah, that'd be great. So went down to Barnes Hospital and met up with the people in the pheresis department. And I donated pheresis down at Barnes for 27 years. Every other week, I got to donate over 80 gallons of platelets.
Wow.
So that's probably something that I hold pretty close.
That's okay. So I am not familiar with the term pheresis, or is that the name of it?
It's apheresis is a white blood cell.
Okay.
People who have cancer, they, you know, the treatments usually kill their platelet count. So
got you. That's a lot of blood.
Yeah, a nice little hole in my arm.
I'm telling you. Wow. I would do that. I can't. Every time they take blood from, I faint. So it's just
that wouldn't be good.
Not a good. I've tried a couple of times. One time I went and at one point Lay's like, "Are you okay, Hannah?" I'm like, "I was really tired." She's like, "Okay." And she took the thing. She's like, "You're gonna faint." She's like, "You're not one of those people that can give blood." And then several years later, I thought, "Oh, maybe I'm fine now." Nope, I fainted again. So, yeah, not my thing.
It's not cut out for everyone.
So we need people like you that can give blood. Thank you for that.
It was easy for me. When I was younger, there was three of my friends contracted leukemia, and so two of them made it, one of them didn't, but. You know, the one person that really stuck in my mind, I remember we were in seventh grade and he looked over at me and my friend and he goes, "I wish I had your veins," you know, because his were, you know, this was at the time you had to go down to St. Jude's.
Okay.
You know, that was the only place that was, you know, helping people out at that time. They had that much advancement. So, you know, that really stuck with me. And so I thought, well, you know, when I get to be able to do something about that, I will. So
I like the personal connection.
Yeah.
All right. Have we thought of a celebrity or maybe just anybody, a pet, somebody, you know,
you know,
a plant, it's a building. I'm giving you lots of options.
Yeah, you're giving me all kinds of options. You know, I like to photograph things that are, you know, not different, but, you know, every photographers have eyes that, you know, kind of look at things a little bit different.
Right.
So, I'd like to say my kids.
Absolutely.
My daughter was very easy to take a picture of. My son, not so much.
Did he move around a lot? Was he one of those kind of kids? Or?
You know, you would bring out the camera when my daughter was little and she would sit there and pose and she would smile. And so my son, as soon as you bring the camera out, he'd look the other way.
He's like, "Well, all right, you know.
He had
his own style."
He does have his own style.
I love it. Well, Brad, thanks for being a guest today. I mean, so interesting to learn about St. Louis history. And it's fun because you have so much in your head about it. I love it. And I mean, I know you have a book, right, about the arch,
We have a book that we had printed. This was our 18th edition to the book, but we don't print it anymore.
Okay.
The arch was our big seller, in which the arch is the arch.
So the arch is the arch. Okay.
And they decided that they wanted to come out with their own book and they weren't going to sell ours anymore. So
man.
We kind of like, you know, that's okay.
All right. Gotcha. Cool. But I'm telling you, you've got a book in there.
We do have a book.
In the meantime, we go to Culpepper's or Cyberg's, right?
Culpepper's, I think, are all gone now, which is
that's right. I think you're right.
Yeah, they had 10 stores. I mean, they really branched out and then
went
away.
When was it a COVID thing or was it before that?
I think they started closing some before COVID, but I think COVID had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
I think their main one that was down in Central West End, I think that closed up like 2 years ago.
Right. So. Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
They were the chicken wings place.
Yes, they were.
There was where you went and got chicken wings.
Yeah, we had one of the pictures of my father and my uncle that were together holding up a newspaper that said the Cardinals won the World Series in 1942, and they're standing there in the street. And we changed the lettering to Culpepper's has the best wings.
Oh, my gosh.
and the whole restaurant theme was based off of that picture. It was on their front of the menu.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. All right. I love it. Well, thank you, Brad, so much.
Thank you.
It's been
fun
getting to know you more and learn more about St. Louis, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
All right, everybody out there, you've been listening to Mishmash Podcast. Go out and have a fun day and take some pictures. All right, bye.